So now you've heard that scripture, and I'll tell you a little story. I decided on a title and a theme of a sermon, and I said, Rod, I'm going to do it on this little plaque we have in our laundry room that says, why do I do what I do when I know what I know? And so I read that regularly in the laundry room, and Rod said, you know that scripture, it comes out of scripture, don't you? And I went, what? He goes, yeah, go check out Romans 7. So that's how it came about. So if you'd pray with me, please. God, our Creator, send the Holy Spirit to be with us this morning. May the words shared be your words. May these words reach each of us right where we are. Speak to us as only you can. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Recently, I was in Alexandria, Minnesota, at a small cafe called The Coffee Pot. Some of you may have been there from time to time. It's a great place. The Coffee Pot is the kind of place that Monday through Friday, you mostly see locals. Saturday, you have the locals, you have the cabin folks. Sunday, you have the locals, you have the cabin folks, and you have the churchgoers. And it's a tiny little place. It's open like 6 to 2 or something like that. Well, I was there for one and only reason. I wanted a caramel roll, a big, gooey, yummy, melt-in-your-mouth caramel roll. I was there alone, having been up to the lake by myself for a while. It was about 8, and I was kind of really looking forward to that caramel roll. So I ordered my caramel roll, and I ordered an egg over medium, bacon limp, cup of coffee. And I got the caramel roll, and I got the coffee, and I just looked at that caramel roll. It was beautiful. I actually had a picture of it for you, and somewhere between yesterday and today, I lost the thumb drive that would have shown you that picture. But you can use your imagination. It filled the plate, and we're talking a good-sized caramel roll and butter. So good. I looked at it, and I just was, you know, your mouth just starts watering, and I took that first bite, and I like to make things last, so it wasn't a very big bite. I took a second bite. Oh, it was so good. I thought about taking a picture and sending it to Rod, who was at work, but then I thought that would not be a nice thing to do. That'd be a little tormenting that we didn't need to have. After 2 bites, the rest of my food came, and I was a little irritated because I just wanted to savor that caramel roll. But if I did that, then my egg and my bacon are going to get cold, so I kind of went every other bite. By the time I was done, that caramel roll goodness was the last bite I had. I think if I had been home, I would have licked that plate. It looked pretty close to being licked the way it was because I tried to scrape off every bit of that caramel. Well, a couple weeks later, Rod was there on the weekend, or I guess it was a week later, and so we went back on the pretense that I had to take a picture for the sermon. I really wanted another caramel roll. This time, Rod and I shared that wonderful goodness and just let it melt in our mouth. If you ever get to Alec, go to the Coffee Pot, but be there early. They don't last long. Over the last few months, I've been working on being healthier, eating healthier, good exercise, taking off a few pounds, all those things that we're supposed to do. But that caramel roll was more temptation than I could that I could pass up at that time. I knew better. I knew it was loaded in sugar, loaded in carbs. I'd already stopped having headaches from sugar because I'd been eating so healthy for a couple of months. I felt a lot of energy. I'd lost a few pounds, but I ate that caramel roll anyhow. We learn from the very beginning of our lives what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. You know, I remember being little, as the oldest of 4, being told, don't hit your sisters and your brother, don't torment them. And so when my mom wasn't looking, I would torment my sisters and my brother. I remember a time I was told, eat all those peas on your plate. You can't leave the table until you eat those peas. So I sat there and sat there. When I thought no one was looking, I very carefully shoved the peas off the plate, under the lip of the plate. I'm done. I finished my meal. I got caught. And then there was the don't use curse words. My mom was very big on that. My children will tell you, so have I been. So what I would do is, maybe those later grade school years, certainly middle school, I'd practice using those curse words on my friends when no adults were around so I wouldn't get caught. I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyhow. Then I got into high school. I tested my mom over and over with curfew. Would she really ground me? Yeah, she would. And she did many times. I think I was a slow learner. When my English teacher said, turn in all those assignments, was she really serious? I think that was 9th grade. Well, that D on that report card said she was really serious. I was grounded again. And then in Earth Day, 1971, Earth Day had only been around a couple of years by then, I think, and it's like, was the school really serious when they said you couldn't skip that day? I mean, after all, they were only doing fun stuff. Were they really serious? Well, they were, and I was suspended, and I was grounded again. Spent a lot of time grounded. And as adults, we have those same challenges, don't we? What causes me to do the wrong when I know the right? It's a tug of war, like the children had the tug of war. Sometimes I think of it as that little devil on one shoulder and angel on the other, pulling me in both directions. And sometimes I give in when I shouldn't give in. Well, the Carmel roll tested me. Lots of things in life tested me. And what I find is in Scripture today, we see the Apostle Paul saying that he was tested the same way. He was subject to sin just as we all are. We all experience that conflict within ourselves. The flesh, when it speaks to us, is trying to convince us that it's absolutely right. Trying to convince us that yearning what it wants. I wanted that caramel roll. That's the flesh part of me, or the little devil part of me. Tommy Lasorda, the former Los Angeles Dodgers manager, describes his battle from the inner within. He said, I took a pack of cigarettes from my pocket. I stared at it. Who's stronger, you or me? And he said, the answer was me, and I stopped smoking. Then I took a vodka martini, and I said to it, who's stronger, you or me? Again, the answer was me, and I quit drinking. Then I decided to go on a diet. I looked at that big plate of linguine with clam sauce, and I said, who's stronger, you or me? And a little clam looked up at me and said, I am. Lasorda said, I just cannot beat linguine with clam sauce. The writer and theologian C.S. Lewis put it this way, no man knows how bad he is until he has tried to be good. I go back to that simple caramel roll. I had been so good for a couple of months, and boy, I ate that caramel roll and enjoyed every bit and went back for more. God's Spirit is drawing us to do what we know is right, yet we often do not do it. Why do I do what I do when I know what I know? After a while, that rolls off your tongue. In our text today, Paul put it this way, as we heard in Scripture, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Paul's describing his own personal struggle, his struggle, his battle within. His battle was with sin, which we all have. Paul's struggle was deep, and it was personal. It came from his, and it was a struggle with his own flesh. It was like a war inside. Not the kind of war that has force and fury, but once you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, it becomes a real war inside. Many of us are familiar with the book by Robert Louis Stevenson that was made into several movies. It was titled Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The story is all about Dr. Jekyll, who's working on a potion that would allow him to actually become another person, to become a man named Edward Hyde. The two men could not be more different. Dr. Jekyll's nice, well-respected man. Mr. Hyde, malicious, cold-blooded killer. At first, Dr. Jekyll could control what was going on and Hyde within him. But after a while, Hyde began to emerge as his own, taking control of the doctor's life. The two men within fight for control over the body in which they both live. It's a classic novel about right and wrong, joy and despair, the struggle of good and evil. Mr. Stevenson was once asked, where did you find the model for your character of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? And he said, I found it in my own nature. Friend, Stevenson was a Christian, and he had learned that there is indeed inside every child of God a beast. Every Christian is a new creation in Jesus Christ and has received a new nature. Yet the old nature yearns to be in charge and battles within for supremacy. In my life, I sometimes think of that control I like to have. Stevenson went on to say, I find that there's always struggle within, the beast that lives within me. Be assured, the old nature, that beast, is never really removed, and it's never really improved. It's always there. Now we know from our text today in Romans that the Apostle Paul had the same fight. He fought that beast from within. Now, most of us who call ourselves followers of Christ want to please God. We want to do and live in God's will. We want to be a light to the world, make a difference in the lives of those around us. Yet this battle rages within. Yet the beast, Mr. Hyde, often shows his face, and we yield to the allurement, which in the end crushes relationships and veers us off the path of righteousness. The beast within seeks to fulfill its own desires. The battle with our old sinful nature still rages within us, even after we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Paul puts it this way, I do not understand my own action. I do the very things I hate. I do not do the good I want to do. Many times when we encounter the beast inside, we yield to its desires. And often, after we do, we feel remorse, guilt. We know that we've not done right. We may feel like hypocrites. We may convince ourselves that something must spiritually be wrong with us. We may begin to doubt our own salvation. For most, this battle of nature is waged in secret. We don't really share those inner things too much with other people. For most, that beast is hidden from view. Few, if any, know about the terrible fight that you might be going through that we have in our own hearts, within our own minds. And this leads to feeling unworthy. Paul's words also spoke to this, and he's very strong when he proclaims, "Wretched man am I, who will rescue me from this body of death?" Those are strong words. Have you ever been caught in the place where you know that God was asking you to do, but you did something else instead? You went to Valley Fair instead of church? Or a whole bunch worse? I think we all have. I certainly have. There's a power struggle going on inside of us, and we're caught in between. We often get hold of something in our minds, and we can't let it go. It may be due to anger. It may be due to pride. But we just cannot seem to let it go. Yes, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You have a hold of something that in reality has a hold on you. Let go. Let go of the temptation. Do not hold on to the beast. There are in Asia or in Africa, there are ring-tailed monkeys, and they're often seen as a delicacy by the Zulus, the people of Africa. But they're extremely difficult to catch. They're so agile. Yet the Zulus found a way to catch them. They get a gourd or a coconut, and they drill a hole in it, just big enough so the monkey can get their hand in it. They hollow it out, and then inside they put cooked rice or melon. And then they tie a rope around the gourd, and they tie a rope around the tree. The monkeys climb down the tree because they can smell that food. Oh, that caramel roll. They stick their hand in the gourd, and they grab the food inside. But when they make a fist, they can't get their hand back out. They run up the tree with their hand in the gourd until they come to the end of the rope, and then, bam, they fall to the ground. Yet they don't let their fist go, and again they run up to the tree, up in the tree until the rope is tight, and then bam, they fall down again, their hand inside that gourd. Isn't that just like we are at times? Why do I do what I do when I know what I know? We get a hold of something in our minds, and we just will not let it go, even though it might be killing us. We love God, we want God's best, yet we yield to that beast that lives within. Do not give in to the beast within. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Friends, remember God's words to us. And he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The answer to this temptation, to this battle we have with the beast within, is our confessing of our sins to the one we call our Lord and Savior. But in order for us to confess our sins, we have to acknowledge them first. A little harder for me, I know. We must call them what they are and then ask God for forgiveness. And God is so gracious, so very gracious. Not only does he forgive our sins, but the separations, but he separates them from us as far as the east is from the west, and then throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. Isn't that a wonderful thought, a sea of forgetfulness? Friends, if you have lived the Christian life, if you have fought the beast within, then you can truly identify with the Apostle Paul and the words that he has shared. Indeed, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're broken. We can't fix ourselves. I can't fix myself. We have to rely on God, rely on the Holy Spirit to mend that which we cannot fix. If you hired a plumber to come in and rework the plumbing in your house, and when they were done, none of the plumbing worked right, it was all leaky and backed up drains, would you hire that plumber again? No, probably not, or of course not. When we convince ourselves that we can fix our own lives, our own beast within, we're simply hiring that same person, ourselves, who messed it up in the first place. Okay. Call on the one who is the creator of life. Call on the one who died for you. Call on the one who loves you like no other. And his name is Jesus. Oh, friends, get your hand out of the gourd. Let go of the beast. Set down the caramel roll. Yield to Jesus, and he alone is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen and amen. Please join me in the words of assurance. As it's printed in your bulletin, or our prayer of confession. Loving God, why do I do what I do when I know what I know? Even though I want to do what is right, I do not fail to do what was right. But at times, I consciously chose to think and act in ways I know were wrong. I am truly sorry. I ask for your forgiveness. And now let me share with you words of assurance taken from the later part of that same text in Romans. Friends, hear this. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been set free from the power of sin. It no longer needs to control us. So be at peace. Ask and your sins are forgiven. Go out and live in the light of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.